the drive. Hill Lane crosses up. Van Vliet, okie doke move, and lays it up for two. Lee with a nifty move there.
He could go all the way, and the freshman takes it to the house with no time on the clock. Are you kidding me? He takes it 60 yards. Welcome to Redbird Nation. And the shoe. She gives it to Katie Broadway. Broadway taking it herself down the west side. No good. But she's going to get a rebound. Kicks it out. Kansas Sykes for three.
Got it.
She got it. Kansas Sykes for three.
From local high school action to the birds and the pros, with live interviews, reporting, debate, and discussion, WZND's Red Zone brings you all the sports you can handle each week. The Red Zone starts now, only on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
It has never been a better time to be back on the airwaves. Welcome to the Red Zone. Thursday evening, I'm Andy Olson. 4 weeks off we've been. More like 5 weeks off because we didn't have a show during finals week. We are finally back on the air for the 2019 spring semester. We have a ton planned for this show. You're not going to want to go anywhere if you're listening in the car. When you get out of the car, you better find another radio, or you can pop on to WZD.com to make sure you listen. We'll recap what exactly happened these past 5 weeks in our lives. It's been a while since we've been on the air. After that, we'll have Keyshawn Evans, that's right, starting guard for the Illinois State Redbirds, will be here live in the studio to talk about their win over Southern Illinois, as well as previewing Evansville this upcoming week. After that, we bring in a news and sports staff member this week. It's Isaac Missel. We're talking about the NFL playoffs. It's a conference championship weekend, and then after that, we introduce the three up, three down. It replaces the pick six. You're not going to want to miss the three up, three down. Best segment of the year, but the show is going to be great. Don't go anywhere. We'll take a break before we get started. You're listening to 103.3 WZND.
This is Illinois State infielder Owen Miller, and you're listening to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
A cold winter Thursday evening here in Illinois and on the campus of Illinois State University. Live from the WZND studios, I'm Andy Olson. Thanks for tuning into the Red Zone. Our first one back for the 2019 spring semester. Took a five-week break. We went to our own corners of the earth. Some of us went to the same spot, as we'll get into when we talk about what exactly we did over break. But I'm very happy to be talking to you back on the air. I haven't had my sports fix in a long time. I mean, I've been watching sports, keeping up, but I haven't been able to talk about it like I'm used to. So we're happy to be back. Happy to have you joining us at home, in the car, wherever you happen to be. Again, 103.3 WZND or WZND.com. My co-hosts, as always, we'll start with Julie Martin, senior. Our last semester.
Holy cow, I know.
Julie, you and I have been doing this for three semesters now.
We have, and it seems like it's almost been longer, but I mean, I'm enjoying it and going to try and take in the last couple weeks we have left here.
Well, I think, what is it, weeks, like 16, 15 in a semester?
I think it's 16.
You have to take out spring break.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you're right. Well, let's have a good last 16 shows. We're going to have some good shows in there, possibly some surprises, but we'll get to those when we get to them. And we're also joined by Hector Carrion, the board operator extraordinaire over there.
It's the best board operator in the game.
You're still working out the kinks a little bit.
Hey,
there were some timing issues.
It was a long break.
It was a long break. But we'll knock the rust off, get back into the swing of things, and it feels great to be back. One thing did happen over break, though, that we do need to talk about. As everyone at home knows, avid listeners of the Red Zone know that I myself am a Chicago Bears fan. Julie over here is a Green Bay Packers fan. We had a bet week one. We tried to go back and find the audio, but for some reason we just never talked about it on the air. I don't know why. The bet was that it was for both games, by the way. We made the bet for both games that whoever won that game, or whoever lost, I should say, whoever lost that game had to put the other team's hashtag in their Twitter bio until the next game. For week one, Bears lost by one. I'll accept that. But that was only one of four losses they had the entire year. So that, you know, that helps redeem that situation. So I had to put Go Pack Go in my Twitter bio until they played next in week 15. But as we all know, it's been in the past. It has happened, 4 weeks ago now? 5 weeks ago now? the Bears beat the Green Bay Packers in Soldier Field. It was a great time. I was at Walt Disney World watching that happen, but we'll get more into what we did over our breaks in a second. But I did notice that I got to take out the Go Pack Go in my bio because of our original bet. Then Julie had to put Bear down in her bio until the Bears were done with their season. But she didn't do that.
Oops.
Oh, I don't like that response.
You didn't do it, Julie. You didn't own up to your end of the bet.
You know what?
You can't be over a bet.
You make
the bet and then you follow through.
You know what? I think you texted me about it and then I thought about it. And then I just never did it. I never get around to it. Well, I'll do it. I'll put something in there.
You're rectifying the situation?
Let me go. I'll go to my Twitter and put something in there right now.
Okay.
But
you got to put the bear emoji too, because I put the cheese emoji.
I did not know that it was until their season ended. So technically, is there any reason for me to even put it up? So
would you want it to be until the next time the Bears and Packers play?
Absolutely not.
Okay. I thought that was the butt.
No, that'd be bad.
So how long has it been? You said what, four?
I think the Bears, after they beat the Packers, were still playing in their season for four more weeks.
So I will keep this up for 4 weeks.
For 4 weeks. What is 4 weeks from now? That's it's February at least. We'll call it...
Hold on. It's...
we're checking.
It's February. It's Valentine's Day.
All right. Until Valentine's Day, Julie has to have Bear Down and the Bear emoji in her Twitter bio.
I put something like that in my bio, so...
Something like that.
I put something like that. So if you guys are listening, you can go check it out at @JRMSports_.
It's not spelled out underscore, by the way. It is a literal... It is an actual underscore. If you want to check out at WZNE Sports, by the way, we have a couple of broadcasts coming up. Women's basketball this weekend. They play Southern Illinois tomorrow night. We have a couple of really good broadcasters on that call. And then Sunday afternoon, they'll be playing Missouri State again. Both those games are going to be on the air, 103.3 WZNE and WZNE.com. We'll also have live updates on Twitter. So at WZNE Sports. If you want to follow myself, it is at I am Andy Olson. I'm Andy Olson on Twitter.
Is it? I don't know.
I think so.
Can I plug myself real quick?
Go ahead, Hector. Plug yourself.
@Hector_carryon.
There you go. You know, follow all of us on Twitter when you get home to a safe destination if you happen to be out driving right now. But because it's been so long, where have we been? What have we been doing? I'll start myself. I went to Disney World with the family. Had a good time there. Like I mentioned, watch Bears Packers in Disney World. I was at the ESPN Club, or Club ESPN or something like that.
That's got to be like a really cool experience. If you're going to go somewhere for a game, I feel like that's
it. Like a super bar. They had all the TVs. They had all the games going on NFL Sunday. Yeah. I was surprised how many people were there.
It doesn't surprise me. You go anywhere, you're gonna find sports fans, and they're gonna herd.
They did all. There were a lot of Bears fans there, by the way, watching that game with me. It was terrific. But besides Disney World, I mean, I was down here for New Year's. I had to hang out with all the ZND folk. But that's kind of it. I took this time to rest and relax after a strenuous semester and summer. And I really enjoyed it. But now I'm back to the grind, ready to get some work done.
Ready to be back here. Well, first week I traveled back up to Wisconsin from a small town named Partyville.
Talked about Partyville plenty on this show.
So I went up there for about a week or two, and then I was actually in Florida. I went about a week after Andy was down there.
I think we were in Florida at the same time for about a day.
Yeah.
Like a day or two.
But we did not meet. We didn't really cross paths.
Oh, and that's right. I went to the Illinois State UCF game when I was down in Orlando. So that was a good time.
I had just missed that. So I was down there with my family for a week, and then we came home for New Year's, and I spent a lot of time working, actually. I was lucky enough to be able to go back to NBC 15 in Madison and worked up there a little bit and went to a few Badger games, Badger basketball, so that was really fun. And then I linked up with one of my friends who works for Fox Sports up there, and she took me to a Badger hockey game, so that was really cool.
I've never been to a college hockey game.
I gotta say, I really enjoy hockey, and I hadn't been to a hockey game in probably a little over like a year and a half, and like it just all like flooded back to me, like, oh my gosh, it's like one of the coolest sports ever. I think it's because of just like how physical it gets, and just the atmosphere of like the fans. It was so cool.
We do have a couple of hockey players on staff, at least one hockey player on staff, Scott Rosala, wherever he happens to be listening to this. You know, he's a hockey player. He actually had to get hip surgery because of playing hockey. So that's someone who's committed to the craft of hockey. What about you, Hector? What did you do over break?
once again,
regale us with the story.
You guys had a much more eventful winter break than I did. I sat at home for probably 98% of break.
That's good though. Mental rest.
Yeah, time to myself. But then the other 2%, I just hung out with friends, Shannon, my family that I don't get to see. Like literally all of my family lives in Chicago.
Yeah.
So the only time I get to see them is when we go over there.
Shannon is your girlfriend, by the way.
Yeah, girlfriend. I hope she's listening. I did literally absolutely nothing over break, and I loved every minute of it.
What was the favorite sporting event that you watched over break?
You see, if that Bears game had a different outcome.
The playoff game?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
I feel
that
like
one.
That would have been up there. I really loved watching the national championship. Clemson,
I was
going to
say the same thing, yeah.
Only because of how Clemson beat Alabama.
So you're not a Nick Saban fan, I take it?
I absolutely despise Nick Saban in Alabama.
I think it's because he makes college football more boring because he coaches so well.
Yeah.
That's the reason.
And, yeah, I mean, I hate the guy because he's good. Like, he coaches good teams. He always has the best team, so...
It's fun to root for the underdog,
yeah,
too. I mean, you always kind of have that hope that they win.
I think I'm going to go with the national championship as well, but I had the same thought. The whole Bears playoff game, yeah. I was devastated.
I enjoyed watching that.
After that. Well,
I tuned in about the last 5 minutes.
It was easy for you because the Packers didn't make the playoffs, but... I'm saying as a sports fan, that's up there for one of the most heartbreaking moments, probably.
The double doink.
The double doink. Because you think you watch the first one go in, and then they call timeout. You're like, all right, now you can't ice them anymore. You don't have any more timeouts. Because I always think you burn a timeout, but then the kicker knows they don't have any more. Like, then they can't call timeout anymore. This is the real one. You know what I mean? I think it's probably a better strategy to leave that one timeout. Because then he's going to be having in the back of his mind, oh, they're going to call timeout here.
Yeah.
Ended up working for the Eagles the way they did it because Parkey made it. And then next kick, it looked like it was going in. And then I was like, it has to be through the uprights at this point. It has to be. Just right off the front of the bar and then down onto the crossbar. And if that ball had hit the crossbar at a different angle, it could have bounced in.
Oh, no, yeah, definitely. Once it hit the crossbar, I thought it had bounced.
I know, me too.
And then it bounced the other way, hit the ground, Bears lost.
I think I was speechless for about 15 minutes after that. Speechless for 15 minutes. It took me another hour or two to get up off of the grounds because I was just laying there just sulking in my misery.
Oh, no, yeah, it was painful. I know. I was at my friend's house, and his roommates upstairs always play their music really loud. So after the game, all you heard was the saddest country music ever. For the entire night.
All I imagine is just, I guess that's what you go to if you're sad, country music.
Yeah, that'll definitely do it.
Country slow jams. Well, I'm glad that we all get to catch up after our breaks.
I missed all you guys.
I know.
Yeah,
I
it's really good
I'm
to be back.
I'm very happy that we're all back Thursday
night
now.
It feels right on a Thursday night to be here. So we'll take a break when we come back. We're going to push Keyshawn Evans back a little bit. They had night practice. So they're getting ready for Evansville. We're going to push up our guest, Isaac Missel, coming on. We'll be talking about the NFL playoffs. Don't go anywhere, though. You're listening to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
This is Brady Davis from Red Bird Football, and you're listening to Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
Welcome back to the Red Zone. Andy Olson and Hector Carrion, as well as a special guest from the News and Sports Department here at WZND. Every week we like to have a guest on, get them a little experience on the talk show format. This week we have Isaac Missel from good old Streeter, Illinois. Isaac's been with WZND this is your fourth semester, I think.
Third semester, maybe? If you count the summertime, I guess it is my fourth semester. But it's been fun. I love coming. That's my favorite role, special guest.
There you go.
on the Red Zone, yeah.
And you'll stick with us later as you'll be the first guest picker in the 3 up, 3 down for this semester. So hopefully you get the guest group up above us usual guests, or us usual hosts, because the guest usually doesn't do too well.
I was early on last semester in the pick six for the guests, and I really set a bad precedent. So I'm going to try to fix that.
Everybody go like 1-5, I think.
Oh, it was not good. It was a very bad look for the guests.
Well, speaking of the pick six, there are some still games to be played in the NFL. I think I definitely stopped paying attention after the Bears lost.
Yeah, that's the difference with me. Like, you know, I was sad, but honestly, I think the next morning I woke up, I was like, all right, 15-1 next year, it's going to be tough to lose the Super Bowl going 15-1. So we're going to just watch the rest of these playoffs, and we're going to just enjoy them, because next year it's a wash.
I don't like thinking about next year yet, mostly because I don't know what I'm going to be doing.
Maybe I'm just still nervously sad. You'll still be in college. I'm probably still nervously sad, though. Yeah. I think that's what it is, too. I just haven't really hit me yet. Then the NFL season's going to go over, I'm going to have 8 months of darkness, and then I'll be like, oh. Okay, this is what it's like. Okay.
Well, I mean, baseball, I'm already moved on to baseball.
Well, I'm excited for baseball, too. You're right. It's going to be about, like, 3 hours, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Sox got Machado, so we're all good.
Oh, look at you.
You stalled already. 3 hours from now, Sox will have Machado. We'll see about that. But as far as the NFL games this weekend, we have the New England Patriots at the Kansas City Chiefs. And what is the Patriots' first road game in the playoffs in what? Years?
Have they ever played the AFC Championship game? Maybe early on, obviously.
I think the last time they played a road playoff game was at Denver when the Broncos beat them and then went on to win the championship.
Yeah, I do remember that game. I do remember that game.
I was just going to say, I'm pretty sure they had to play Peyton Manning at
one
home
of those times on the road.
Yeah, maybe they did.
And I think, what was that, their last loss before the championship game in the playoffs?
No, they're ridiculous, but you know. Tom Brady's looked old. You watch, he's always getting ridiculed for his short pass game, and he's always quick, and it doesn't really seem like he's that talented. Maybe someone figures this out. It's about time somebody figures this out. Also, Patrick Mahomes is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
That's true.
The best quarterback in the NFL right now.
As sports fans, every year we're always waiting for, is this the year the Patriots are done?
Yeah.
Nope, no. That wasn't the year.
And but is this the year? Year too.
But is this the year? No, that wasn't the year either. But is this one the year where Tom Brady's reign is finally over? It's always no. And we're all just waiting for that year to be yes.
When they won the Super Bowl against the Falcons, that was the last time I said I'm ever going to say this team. Like, I'm ever going to think they're going to lose. From here on out, they're going to win. I don't care. They're going to win. I'm still close to that. The Eagles, obviously, last year, they beat them. But, yeah.
I mean, first of all, I didn't think the Eagles would beat them.
No, I did not. Yeah, exactly. Going into that game, I was like, "Well, Tom Brady won another Super Bowl."
Yeah,
yeah. Nick Foles he's just got that energy, man.
He does have that energy. Make whatever connections you want with that one. But that's not the only game going on this weekend. It's also a rematch from the regular season matchup. Same location though, as opposed to Kansas City and New England. It is Los Angeles at New Orleans, and that's going to be another interesting game because the Bears beat the Rams in the regular season, and we saw how a good defense could shut down Sean McVay's Rams. But New Orleans not known for they're good at defense, not known for their defense. Mostly known for the offense and Drew Brees, but since they've played Dallas on that one Monday night game, that offense hasn't been necessarily the same as it was earlier in the year.
You're definitely right about that. But you know, Drew Brees, I think he's just the key in all of this. I think he's just the key in the cog. I like LA. I still think they have flaws. I think they have holes.
Yeah.
I think they can just be figured out. I think ultimately, and that's been proven by, you know, even the Eagles did it too. Mm-hmm. Obviously they beat them last week, but they can be figured out, I think.
That's another guy right there too. Drew Brees. When is he going to fall off?
That's true.
Oh, I'm big on him falling off directly after he wins the Super Bowl.
It's like he's on top of the game still. He's breaking records. He's 40, right?
He's turning 40 like this week.
It's there. If he wins the Super Bowl, I just don't see how he doesn't walk off. If Tom Brady does, I think he walks off. I think if Drew Brees does, he walks off.
They're not going to walk off.
No,
they're not going to
retire. There's no way.
Yeah, there's no way.
I feel like winning the Super Bowl.
That's a hot take, but you win the Super Bowl, you go out on top. Peyton Manning did it. Yeah. Everyone else won. Don't tell me that wasn't like romantic when Peyton Manning won that Super Bowl.
No, it was.
You can't tell me Tom Brady was like, I need to do that too. Tom Brady definitely is thinking, I need to do that too.
Would he have done it last year if they beat the Eagles in the championship game?
I think he would have last year. Yes, I do. I really do. Because you just look at, like I said, this season, he doesn't look like, yes, he makes throws down the field. He's still Tom Brady. But he's not that like, oh my God, Tom Brady is this offense. And it's just, they're getting a lot of help from a lot of other spots.
And I get where you're coming from with that. But like, if you're 40 years old. Drew Brees is turning 40. He wins a Super Bowl as a 40-year-old quarterback. Why not? If I'm him, I'm thinking I'm 40 years old and I'm still better than every single quarterback in the league.
We're just on different levels because I'm running away from that field just like, all right, I'm on top and I'm out. I wouldn't be surprised if he's just like, And he does the same thing Peyton Manning did with Budweiser and just sells out completely. Just sells out completely after he wins the Super Bowl.
I mean, how would you not? I'd do it. As a regular person, I say that. I'd do it.
Obviously, I get it, but yeah.
I totally get where you're coming from, but I'm just trying to, like, look at things from another point of view. Like, if you're that old and you're dominating the game still, why are you going to walk away?
I see what you're saying. You're right. Especially if you're that big of a competitor, you're going to want to be like, I'm at the top of the game. I want to stay here. And I think I don't think an athlete ever thinks they can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. But I think that just the ability to go on top, you think you have a say in it, but you really don't at the same time. I mean, it's a single game. Anything can happen. You can get back to that level, but there's no guarantee you can win another one.
So, just looking at these games specifically, I want to hear some predictions about them. We'll start with New England and Kansas City. By the way, all four teams left, all teams with two first names. New England, Kansas City, Los Angeles, New Orleans.
Andy Olsen, you just blew my mind away.
I like those stupid things.
Oh, those are great stupid things. That is an amazing... Oh, my God.
We'll start.
I'm stunned right now. We're going to have to go to Hector.
We'll go to Hector. We'll start with the AFC Championship game. What do you think is going to happen this weekend?
All right, I think that Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs have the ability to just go out onto that field and just run the game from the start. But then again, it's Tom Brady. He's most likely going to win the Super Bowl this year. I got to go with the Patriots.
The AFC Championship game is like the best for me because I don't really care either way. I don't hate when they beat the Falcons, that's also when I stopped hating them. I was just like, I just got to appreciate this. I'm never going to see this again in my life. I'd love to see the Bears, whatever, either way. The AFC Championship game is interesting because I think either of those quarterbacks being in the Super Bowl just makes the game so much better. Tom Brady against whoever, or even Patrick Mahomes in the season he's had against whoever. But because the Chiefs are at home, I'm going to have to go with the Chiefs. And I just think if it gets to a shootout, KC's not going to lose that game.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I don't think that KC will run the game. Just simply because it's the Patriots, you know what I mean?
It's tough to run the Patriots.
It's tough to run the Patriots. I mean, it's happened. I mean, they had a couple of stinkers during the regular season. But I think about Patrick Mahomes, and he's just an athlete. I think it's because he's a baseball player.
No, he's a pure athlete.
He grew up playing baseball, and now he can make those sidearm
throws. Yeah, wasn't his dad? Didn't his dad play
in the dad pros? His dad was a pretty big professional, too.
Oh, yeah, his dad was a reliever, I believe, right?
His dad was a reliever.
Yeah. Little side note, he's really good friends with Michael Kopech. Yeah, so both really good athletes, both going to really do great things for their teams when they play.
We'll see if Michael Kopech actually plays and is not injured.
He'll be beautiful. No doubt.
I think it's going to be Kansas City. And I say that knowing that this is New England who we're talking about. But these two teams played a close game in the regular season, but it was in Boston. So I'm going with they're still going to play good games, but it's going to be in Kansas City this time, so I think that could be the advantage for the Chiefs.
One last advantage for the Chiefs, too. Mm-hmm. They did play earlier this season. A fan threw a beer on Tyreek Hill's face, right? Do we remember this?
Oh, yeah, I do.
So it's the Tyreek Hill revenge game.
That is.
Against that fan. And I'm sure New England, being the organization they are going to fly that fan into KC so he can be present at the game on the sideline.
I think that'd be funny.
That would be actually really cool.
That would be very funny. But now moving on to the NFC Championship game. It looks like Chiefs for me and Isaac. Pats for Hector.
Hector's the smartest one in this room.
He is the smartest one in the room because I keep thinking this is going to be the year. Everyone's going Patriots, but this is the year that I'm right and I picked not the Patriots.
Yeah, and this is
it's also because I like underdogs.
This is the first time I go against that. Like, this is the first time I'm accepting the fact that it's Tom Brady playing.
I really should accept the fact.
Yeah, I thought they were going to win the Super Bowl last year going into it. So, yeah, this is kind of I'm like, all right, they're going to lose. I didn't think they were going to lose last week, but yeah, this week I think maybe it's going to happen. Maybe.
So NFC Championship game, Rams at Saints. This is the same location, same teams that we saw early on. Not early on. It was about midseason. Rams were 8-0. Saints were 7-1. Now what happens, Hector?
I'm taking the Saints. I think it's going to be a good game, but just from what I saw the Bears do to the Rams, and then the next week what I saw the Eagles do to the Rams, I can't confidently pick them to beat Drew Brees and the Saints in the Superdome. I got to go with the Saints.
Yeah, the Rams looked really good against the Cowboys, but I never really believed in the Cowboys, so I think...
I never did either.
No, honestly, you could have probably made the case, and even after the runs, it can be argued that the Eagles were probably better than the Cowboys this entire time. But either way, those aren't teams that are playing this weekend. I want to go with the Saints, too. I think Drew Brees just has it in him. I think he's got that magic, and yeah, I like Drew Brees a lot in this game.
Do we know if Todd Gurley's playing?
Oh, he's got to be playing, right?
He has to be playing.
There's no way.
Yeah, there's no way he doesn't play.
So he might not score a touchdown late because, you know, he doesn't. He likes to fall down on touchdowns late in games. But, you know, he'll play.
I think that one of these games, the 2 seed is going to win. I don't think it's going to be number one versus number one. I already picked the number one, the Chiefs, to go to the championship game. So that means I'm going to go with the Rams here. And it's not the fact that I just don't believe in the Saints. I think they could easily win this game, but I just think it's the Rams' time. It doesn't feel right for the Saints at this moment because of how Dallas was able to expose them. And that Rams defense, they've been blown up sometimes, but they have some really solid players on that team. If they can just have good games, I think they should be able to contain the Saints, and I think it's going to be a Chiefs-Rams championship.
I think it's cool how we keep going back to those losses that, you know.
The Missouri Bowl, by the way.
That'd be cool. I like how we keep going back to those losses, though, that both of those teams had against the Bears and then against the, what was the team you just said?
The Eagles?
Eagles.
Cowboys.
Yeah, the Cowboys. The Cowboys against the Saints and the Bears against the Rams. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as we keep going back to those, they're kind of really offsetting losses. This is just going to be a good game. But I will say I think it'll be the less fun game between the two on Sunday.
No, that's probably fair. I agree with that. So we all have different championship games. We'll see who's right. One of us has to be right.
Yeah.
Unless it's Pats Rams, then all of us would be wrong.
That'd be rough.
That would be rough. But that ends our NFL talk. Isaac, thanks for joining us. We'll have you back on at the end of the show for the 3 Up, 3 Down.
Excited for it.
We got to get back to the news though, so we'll take a break and it'll be Julie with the news when we come back. Thank you, Julie, for bringing us the news as always. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we have Keyshawn Evans from Redbird Men's Basketball here in studio to talk about their most recent game against Southern Illinois and this upcoming weekend against Evansville. But we'll be right back. You're listening to 103.3 WZND.
I'm Dan Muller, basketball coach of your Illinois State Redbirds, and you're listening to The Red Zone only on 103.3 WZND.
Welcome back to the Red Zone. Andy Olson with you. 6:36 p.m. on this Thursday evening. We have a special guest in the studio now, but before we get to them, I want to take fans at home back 48 hours. We're late in the game. Hector and I on the call. Southern Illinois, Illinois State, Tuesday night. Big game. Southern Illinois made a comeback, but it was close at the end. It was 55-55. And I want to take you back to one moment. We have the replay of it. If you don't remember it, we'll play it for you right now, Julie.
Now he drives. His pass is tipped. It's picked up by Phil Fain. ISU with possession. Turnover, Salukis. Fast break, Copeland. Far side corner. Keyshawn for three. Bang! Keyshawn hits it. ISU takes the lead. 58-55. 1:35 remaining in the game.
And we have the hero of that game in studio with us now. The man who hit the big shot at the end of the game, Keyshawn Evans. And Keyshawn, I don't think this is the first time you've been on with us, but we're happy to have you back.
Second, I think.
Yeah, it was a nice time to have you on, especially after that performance against Southern Illinois.
Thanks, man.
Let's go to that shot. I mean, it's 55-55. I mean, you guys had a big lead in that game, and then at the end, I mean, they started clawing their way back, and then you find yourselves tied with just over a minute left. What was going through your mind? You're in the corner, and you just pull up for that shot. What was going on?
Well, the first thing I was like, we got to get a stop, because it was 55-55, and then I think Phil, like, overclosed out, and then, like, made a great play to, like, get back in front of the ball and then deflect it. And then I was just thinking in my head, just, I'll make this one, because I think I missed, like, eight straight before that, so I was like, I'm going to make this one. So I just shot it and it went in. So I was like, all right.
Is from the corner probably your favorite place to shoot from?
Least favorite.
Least favorite from
really?
The corner?
Least favorite. I hate the corners.
I always hear people talking about the corner just because it's like the closest to the basket, technically.
I hate the corners and I don't like the top either.
Okay, so
I
just
like
from the wings.
Like the kind of the wings and that like kind of middle but yeah. The side. I like that.
Okay, good to know.
But, well, I mean, it works out for him. I mean, you can't change anything that I guess kind of changed an entire game for you guys. What was that win kind of like? I mean, you guys had such a big margin, and like Andy said, they were clawing their way back. But, I mean, overall, you guys won a pretty close game. I mean, what's that feel like?
It felt good, you know, like especially like when we – like where we've been like in the beginning of the year and like how, you know, we're playing a lot better now. And then just being able to learn from another close game is important too, because usually, you know, sometimes the ball doesn't roll your way sometimes and you have to learn from a loss. But luckily we get to learn from a win and just try not to have that 8 minute stretch where we, you know, couldn't make a basket. But other than that, I felt like we played really well.
And I mean, that's been like what? the fourth close game you played with Southern Illinois over the past like year.
Yeah.
About, I mean, this is kind of a rivalry forming with you guys at the moment. Do you kind of feel that way? I mean, you're going to see them at least one more time to end the regular season in Carbondale, but you know, a possible Arch Madness contest could come about again, and you guys have been playing really close games.
It's going to be a tough one, like always. I mean, the past 3-4 times we've played them, it's all been tough. Like, you know it's going to be tough going into the game, so even when we were up, you know, up 16 or up 15 or whatever it was, we kind of knew that they weren't going to give up, they were going to fight back, and then they ended up getting, you know, tying it up and then even taking the lead, so... No, just be prepared. You can't really, assume what's going to happen. You just got to go out there and play.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Southern was a really close game, but kind of looking back on how you guys kind of opened conference, it was Loyola and Valparaiso were just in a few points, and those were the ones that, unfortunately, Illinois State couldn't win. But what do you kind of take from those really close games to kind of close out then and when you guys did beat Southern?
Those three games were, like, a different story, like, in themselves. Like, the Valpo game was, like, we played 38 great minutes of basketball, mm-hmm. I felt like. Like, it's hard to win on the road. I don't care where you're playing at. So, you know, to be up 8 with 2 minutes left and then we don't finish the game. And then we go to Loyola, we turn the ball over. And then, like, with SIU, we go through a 9-minute stretch where, we missed, like, 15 straight shots or whatever. But it's just, like... I don't know, you get your learning experiences from, each and like every one of those games. So you kind of try to pull the strings from each one of those and then just try to, put together 44 minutes, which we haven't done yet, but I think we're close though.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you feel about the team in general at this point? You're still pretty early in conference play, but we're kind of creeping up on the halfway mark. You're playing Evansville for the second time, and you did beat them at home. Now you go on the road, and that's a place where the Redbirds have struggled this year. But how does the team feel in general?
Yeah, I mean, we coming into the week, like, we understand, like, they haven't lost at home, and we haven't won on the road. So, like, already the cards, like, aren't in our favor. So, like, we just have the right mindset, from today. And we just kind of have to just take care of the process going into it. Try not to think too much about, our road games or their home success and just go out there and play. And then, control what we can control. And then, whatever happens, happens.
And it doesn't seem like it's just ISU here who's kind of this influx being on the road and back home. It seems like the Valley as a whole is kind of having an odd start to the season. I mean, no one is really leading and there's no one really on the bottom. I mean, can you kind of speak about the influx as a whole we're seeing in the conference already this season?
I mean, there's a lot of good teams. I mean, a lot of good players, guys, some guys aren't playing well. Some guys are playing well. Like, it's just, it's a different feel, especially when you got, 7-8 teams all beating up on each other. Like, it's interesting. So, but I mean, at the same time, it has to keep us, on edge when you know, we're going to Evansville. You got to play tough. Anybody can really beat anybody on any night. And, like, it showed in... besides Loyola and Valpo, there's probably 9 teams that are 3-2 and 2-3, a game within each other. And you can easily go from being third to eighth. So, it's definitely, a weird dynamic.
I was going to say, this is probably similar to how Big Ten football, they just beat up on each other, all conference play. This is what the Missouri Valley is turning out to be this year. But for you personally, it's been kind of a contentious season for you. Start out just before the season with that foot injury, and then, you work your way into getting more minutes. How do you, yourself, Keyshawn Evans, feel with that foot? Do you think that's kind of maybe given you some extra rust on the year, or you feel you're playing good?
I mean, I knew... In the beginning, when I first came back, it was gonna, I was gonna have to take a little bit of bumps here and there because I was off for 2 weeks, not doing anything for 2 weeks, then jumping right back in to the exhibition. I think it was the exhibition. I mean, at the end of the day, a week isn't really enough when you sit out for that long, but just try to take care. We always say take care of the process. I say it all the time. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of something that I've tried to embrace, with how the start of the year is going, and then I feel like I'm playing a lot better than I have been. So, I mean, I'm happy with where I am, but I know I have I'm going to do a lot better, coming up. So, I mean, I try not to think about the future, try not to think about, how I played in the beginning, just, stay in the moment, and then, whatever happens, happens.
I mean, you're in the moment right now, and I mean, there's still plenty of basketball left, but it is your senior year. I mean, is there one goal that you have before you're finishing out your career here at ISU?
Win in St. Louis. That's it. I don't care about the stats. I mean, obviously, like, I'm not shooting the ball well. Like, I really don't, like...
You need to start taking those corner shots, I think.
The corner works.
And I'm just...
Maybe
I'm
that's
not,
where
I'm
the key
worried.
Is.
I'm not worried about it. Like, It's just like a, I don't know. Something just hit me kind of, you know, like a month ago. And I was just like, I'm just going to, you know, try to be all in, you know, all in for the team as much as I can. And, you know, it's been making me play better. So I'm just going to continue to do that. And then keep trying to contribute and do what I can for the team. And then try to get us over the hump.
I know this is, you guys as a team, I'm sure, dream of winning in St. Louis and lifting that championship trophy. As a broadcaster, I dream of being able to call that moment of when the final buzzer sounds and Illinois State wins in St. Louis. I think it's a goal that probably all 10 teams in the Missouri Valley have. It's very contentious, like we already mentioned. But for you personally, we talked about the future, your senior year. What do you think was the biggest learning experience throughout all 4 years? I mean, I'm sure there's been plenty this year with the team being a little bit cold to start the year and then starting to heat up in conference play. But over all 4 years, what was the biggest learning experience for Keyshawn Evans?
I don't know. Probably just growing up. I mean, like, I came in, like, you know, out of high school, freshman from Florida, kind of, you know, far away from home, like, bad mama's boy. Like, whenever a problem comes, I want to go call my mom or, you know, tell my mom, try to come get me out of this. But, you know, she's 1,000 miles away, so she can't come get me out of it. And I think probably the main thing is probably just working yourself out of your own problems. That's probably the main thing for sure, because you're going to encounter problems. And I mean, like, who better to get yourself out of the problems than yourself? Mm-hmm. So that's probably my main thing.
And what's been, like, your biggest accomplishment or, like, your most memorable moment you've had?
Probably you and I, sophomore year, conference.
Really?
Conference, yeah, for sure. Especially with, like, that year, because I remember P. Lee and T. Will, when they were going out, they were just talking about, like, how we want to get every team on the road. Like, we were talking about, like, all the places they hadn't won yet, and they were, I remember we went to Terre Haute, and they were like, we got to get them here. Then we went to UNI. We were like, what better way to go out than to beat, you know, UNI, which is so hard to beat at home.
Oh, absolutely.
It's so hard to beat at home. So to go out and actually beat them at home and then win the conference from that was probably the, you know, coolest moment.
I don't want to keep talking about, like, memories for so long. There's still a lot of season to be played, but, you know, you are a senior. We're seniors as well. Who do you think was the person you looked up to the most on the team as you were young? Because you weren't always a senior. You weren't always one of the oldest guys on the team, but you had a lot of really good leaders ahead of you. Who do you think was the biggest inspiration for you?
I'll probably say I got to go with P. Lee, T. Will, Teddy, and Mikhail, like those four. Like, they set, like, a standard that was just kind of, like, along with Coach Miller, like, those five took, like, ISU to another level. Like, just with, like, the culture and everything. Like, you know, like, the swagger you kind of have when you walk into a gym. Like, you just, you know, you feel, like, that confidence that you have. And I felt like they kind of passed that along to some of the younger guys then, which was, you know, me and Phil and Malik. So, I think those four, especially just with everything they did, you know, whether it be P. Lee with how hard he played, Teddy with his voice and communicating, T. Will with, like, you know, how he was on the defensive end and, like, how selfless he was. So, and even Mikhail the same way. So I think those four for sure.
Well, we reflect, and I feel sad. This is my last semester, your last semester, all of our last semesters. I mean, it's great to be able to kind of look back and reflect on all these happy memories.
For sure,
come
happy.
Up
They're
with
all, happy.
Yeah, all these happy memories. But to look forward to the future now, you guys are on the road for two more games before you return back here to Redbird Arena. Evansville on Saturday and then at Bradley next Wednesday. But, I mean, how are you guys preparing for those two games now in the gym?
I mean, right now we're worried about Evansville. I mean, on Saturday night we'll be able to talk about Evansville for a little bit and Sunday morning, we'll think about Bradley then. But, I mean, we're just trying to take it one game at a time because you can't really look past anybody, especially now with how close everything is. You kind of just got to play game by game. And I think the teams that play it, you know, game by game and just focus on that, you know, the right now are the teams that will probably start to make a little bit of a gap in the standings with the conference and stuff.
Well, before we let Keyshawn go, maybe we listen to that one more time. Give that three one more listen before we get
I got to say, I think Andy is reliving his glory day on the broadcast just as much as you're enjoying listening to this, too.
I felt good about it.
All right.
Now he drives. His pass is tipped. It's picked up by Phil Fain. ISU with possession. Turnover, Salukis. Pass break, Copeland. Far side corner. Keyshawn for three. Bang! Keyshawn hits it. ISU takes the lead. 58-55. 1:35 remaining in the game.
Whenever I go out and try and get a job now, I think I may just show him that.
That's the only thing she's going to say.
Maybe the shot was cool, but the broadcasting was elite right there.
I appreciate
that.
That
was elite. I kind of felt that one just now.
Hector, cut out that soundbite.
We'll give it to him.
For me. Just save that for me, all right? Well, Keyshawn, best of luck the rest of the year.
Thanks, man.
I'm sure we'll see you around, but you know what? Arch Madness, it's coming up soon.
It is. And too soon.
Oh, but we're so excited.
We are excited.
All
right. Well, best of luck the rest of the year. Best of luck to the team.
You
and hopefully.
Good luck with everything.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hopefully, we'll talk to you soon.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We'll take a break. You're listening to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
This is Barstool Big Cat, and you're listening to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
Welcome back to the Red Zone. Andy Olson back with you, and well, it's not a normal part of the Red Zone that we've been used to this past semester. If you remember last year, when the NFL was over, we needed to find something else to pick in this last segment. And well, what better to pick than college basketball? This is a segment we call Three Up, Three Down. We even have our own liner for it. Hector, hit it.
Going up!
It's the Three Up, Three Down. Three Up, Three Down. Only on the pulse of Redbird Nation. 103.3 WZND.
If that doesn't get you as hyped as, the Red Zone, or the Pick 6 lead-in as well, I don't know what will. Incredible job by production. And the Three Up, Three Down, in case you don't know, let me explain it for you. We're still picking six games, just like we have before. We're picking three favorites, our three up, and three underdogs, our three down. We use ESPN's matchup predictor to do this. We pick three games in which the favorite, which is 50.1% or higher, and then we pick three underdogs who we think are going to win, not cover, which is 49.9% or lower. We have to pick one MVC game, and we have to pick only one game that is over 80%. That way no one's picking some like 99%ers just for all three of them. That'll make it even. So, we all have our picks. I'm playing, Hector's playing, Julie's playing. Our faculty advisor, Steve Cease, is not here, but I do have his picks. He's playing. He's the Pick 6 champion, by the way. We also have our guest being filled by Isaac Missile tonight. So, you know what? We'll start with the guest. I did not pick these games. Everyone has to go out and find their own game. So, Isaac, let me hear your first favorites.
This is a whole lot of pressure. But okay, my first favorite, it's coming up, I believe it's this weekend sometime, obviously.
Yes.
South Dakota State University against Oral Roberts. South Dakota State is a 55.7% favorite over the 44.3% favorite. So, yeah, South Dakota State's going to take this one.
Going with the Summit League.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
All right, good. Julie?
I kind of did something different this year. I think I came out at the scratching bottom.
Yeah, I think you did last year.
So I decided to go every single night is a different game. So we'll start with Thursday for my over. BYU at Pepperdine. BYU is favored only by 61.4%, but I'll take it.
You going with BYU? Hector.
All right, so I'm starting off first game Saturday night at 10 p.m. It's a late one. I'm taking the Dons of San Francisco University. To come out on top versus BYU, San Francisco has a 79.2% chance of winning that game.
I like that. And we'll start with Steve Cease's picks. He's going with over. He's going with Buffalo. This is his over 80, by the way. Buffalo over Eastern Michigan. Little MAC conference play. Love the Mid-American Conference. For myself, I'm going with Gonzaga. The Zags are a 99.1% favorite. over Portland. That is also my over 80. And let's go Zags, baby. All right, next favorite, Isaac.
My next pick will be quick because it's the same one Julie did. We did not look at each other's sheets. She was very secretive this week.
She was.
I wanted to see it, but she wouldn't let me see it. But I have BYU as well against Pepperdine.
Okay, Julie?
My second one, we have to have an MVC game, right?
We do have to have an MVC game.
Okay, let me get in one of my favorite MVC teams here. Missouri State at Drake on Sunday. Drake is favored by 76.4, and I'm a big Bulldog fan, so let's go Drake.
We have Julie's cousin plays for Drake. That's why she's a big Drake fan. Hector.
All right, this game is taking place Wednesday at 7 p.m., so next week. This is my over 80%. I'm taking Houston over East Carolina. Houston has a 97% chance of winning that one.
I know they call themselves the Power 6 in football, but do they call themselves the Power 7 in basketball because, like, the Big East is the sixth big power in basketball? It's weird marketing.
Yeah.
The American needs to figure out their marketing because the Power 6 doesn't work for basketball. Steve Cease, he's going with his MVC game, Valparaiso over Northern Iowa. Valpo's at home, so they're a favorite. I believe they only have one loss in conference play at the moment, and Northern Iowa's struggling just a bit for myself. I'm not picking the same Buffalo game. I'm going a different Buffalo game. This one was 79.2, just under the 80% threshold. Buffalo over Northern Illinois. Buffalo's on the road, but they are ranked, so let's go Bulls. Isaac, your last favorite.
Okay, my last favorite. It is my first, I'm going to say, first MVC matchup. I got a couple of them on here.
Okay, all right.
Big MVC fan right here. It's SIU against Bradley. SIU is an 82.2% favorite. That's my first over 80. I'm taking
it. It should be your only over 80.
And is my, it's my only over 80.
Okay.
I also have my over 80 right here. Duke at Pittsburgh. Duke is an 88.6.
That's pretty favorable.
Yeah, and it's Duke.
It's Duke, so. Yeah.
All right, this is my MVC game. This one's Saturday at 1 p.m. I'm taking Loyola over Indiana State, and Loyola has a 70% chance of winning that game.
Steve C. is going Arizona over Oregon, going Pac-12 for his final favorite. And I did the same one as Hector, actually. I'm doing Loyola over Indiana State. I like it. Ramblers on the road. I think they can take down.
Yeah, I think they
Sycamores.
They won't have much trouble.
Not at
all with that.
Now we get into the underdogs. These are the teams that are not expected to win their games by ESPN's matchup predictor, but we think they're going to get the upset and pull off the dub. Doesn't matter if they cover. It has to be a win to count as a win. So, Isaac, what are you thinking?
Well, this first one's very controversial, and I've gotten a lot of flack for it this week, but I'm going to go ahead and say the Tar Heels are going to lose to Virginia Tech.
I don't know why you think that.
Because Virginia Tech's ranked higher, and numbers just make a lot of sense in my head. That's it.
Julie, your first underdog.
You know what? This is my first, but because Isaac said he's getting so much hate for it, I also have Virginia Tech over North Carolina.
Wow.
There
is
we go.
Is that the second same game?
Yeah, that's synergy right there.
Wow. All right, we're jumping to Friday. Friday, 5:30 tip-off. I'm taking Ohio State over Maryland. Ohio State sits at a 33.3% chance of winning that game.
Steve Cease is going with New Mexico State over Utah Valley. I don't know how Utah Valley's favored in that game over New Mexico State, but Steve is riding with the Aggies. I'm going with Utah over Colorado, specifically because Utah is at home, but they're an underdog by about 0.8%. The percentage there is 49.2. So give me Utah, baby. That'd be a good game. All right. Next underdog.
I'm going to say right now that's a weak pick at 49.2.
No, yeah, you think so? That's a smart pick.
That's too close in my opinion. Anyway, next pick, easy pick, Roll Birds. I don't know why. They're 38-61% underdogs to SIU this weekend. Or not SIU, Evansville this weekend.
Evansville, yeah.
I think they handled them pretty earlier this season. Yes, it was at home. And yes, the Redbirds haven't won on the road yet. But that trend's going to stop. Roll Birds, baby.
All right, my second one, Maryland at Ohio State. Ohio State is favored for this game, probably because they're at home, but not by much. Maryland's number 19, so I'm gonna take them Friday night.
Hector, it's your turn.
All right, I'll save that one for last, actually. This game's on Tuesday at 8 p.m., number 18, Ole Miss at Alabama. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss, Alabama's favored in that game.
Oh, really?
I don't know why. I mean, I might know why, but
they don't have Colin Sexton anymore.
Yeah. But Ole Miss has a 40% chance of winning, so I'm
riding with the Rebels. Well, Steve Cease is going TCU over Kansas State. Kansas State had a nice upset last night, and now Steve thinks TCU can do it to Kansas State. I think the opposite. I'm going Kansas State over Texas Tech. The ranked Red Raiders will roll in to Manhattan, Kansas. Give me the Wildcats in that game. They already have a couple of upsets on the year. I don't know why they're not favored. I'm going with the Wildcats.
This last pick.
Last underdog.
I love this one. This is going out to our Southern Belle, Clayton Barrett-Conley. I'm taking Indiana over Purdue. Probably won't happen, but I just did it for Clayton.
That's true love right there.
It's so cute.
I'm going back home for this one, but although home has the over, Michigan at Wisconsin. Wisconsin is favored.
They are.
Over Michigan.
They are.
I find that kind of hard to believe. So Saturday night, I'm going to take Michigan.
Wow. She's seen Wisconsin basketball up
close. I saw Wisconsin basketball up close against Purdue, and I got to say, it was not pretty.
So going with Michigan, Hector.
Shouldn't have saved this one for last because Julie just said it. But I'm also taking Michigan to top Wisconsin.
Guess who also picked Wisconsin. Them. Oh, Steve Cease, our faculty advisor. He's going with Michigan over Wisconsin, too.
I think Michigan's ranked, like, number two
they're
right
second.
Now.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're an underdog.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe the Wisconsin has a home advantage, but...
Maybe not that big of a home
advantage. That's what I'm saying.
All right, my last pick. Julie already said I'm going Maryland over Ohio State. Don't know why the Buckeyes. I mean, they're at home. I guess it's why they're favored. But give me Maryland. Give me the Terrapins. I know they've been playing well this year. And that'll wrap up the first week of picks on 3 Up,
Woo!
3 Down. This is probably... I like this one more because we get to pick our own games.
That's kind of fun.
I like that. I don't have to pick the games before, and we all get to pick our own. Unfortunately, because we're done with our picks, that brings us to the end of our show. It was a great one to be back on the air. For you listening at home, we want to thank Keyshawn Evans and Bill Salyer, who is the SID over with Redbird Athletics, for helping us out and getting Keyshawn on the show before their big game against Evansville this weekend. I want to thank Isaac Missel for hopping on the show. He's part of the news and sports staff. Hopefully you enjoyed yourself, Isaac. And I hope Manny Machado signs with Philadelphia. Julie, thanks for coming back with us. You will have to adjust your Twitter bio because that's
it
not
is.
Good
have
enough.
Have you not taken a look?
I have taken a look, and that is not good enough. To redeem the bet.
Well, hashtag Bears went down, so sorry.
Oh, man.
Bear down, baby. They're going to be back next year. Hector, thanks for doing the beep boops over there.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. If you missed any part of tonight's show, you can hop online, WZND.com. You can find the entire episode right there. Hopefully, miss that flub. That's the end of our show. We'll be back next Thursday. I'm Andy Olson. Thanks for listening.
To hear this and other past episodes of The Red Zone again, download the Red Zone podcast online at WZND.com or on iTunes. And of course, tune into The Red Zone every Thursday at 6, right here on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.